الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع صدق الله العظيم.
We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again, we remind ourselves that it's through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of listening to the teaching of the Holy Quran. Respected brothers, sometimes we talk about Jannah and it's a very pleasurable experience. We learn about the blessings of Jannah, the comforts and blessings bestowed upon a Jannati. And sometimes we talk about the punishment of Jahannam. And we talk about the punishment and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the dwellers of Jahannam will have to tolerate. Both of these things are extremely and absolutely essential and of paramount importance. The reason being is, when we hear about the blessings of Jannah, then we are inspired to do good so that we can go to Jannah. And when we hear about the terrors of Jahannam, then we, out of fear of these punishments, we tend to stay away from bad things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to do both of these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. You'll have noticed in the past few lessons, previously we spoke about the terrors of the day of Qiyamah. Immediately after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the verses of the good soul, and we spoke about the pleasurable experience that death is for a mu'min, and the beautiful gifts that the angels of Jannah bring to a mu'min, to such a point where almost some of us will be wishing, I wish I can experience this now. And you want to just die now. Because it's such a beautiful experience for a mu'min. Now we begin Surah Al-Ghashiyah. And Surah Al-Ghashiyah loosely can be split into four parts. In the first part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the dwellers of Jahannam, the disbelievers, the sinful people on the day of Qiyamah. It's very terrifying descriptions that we find in the Quran and Hadith. After this, we see the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah then goes on to explain the status and the situation of the good people on the day of Qiyamah. That's the second part. The third part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs mankind to look towards the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And finally, on the last portion of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly addresses my Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, and there is a final reproach for the sinful people. So in the first part of the surah, first we look at Surah Al-Ghashiyah, we find in the Quran and Hadith, in the Hadith we find that when leading the prayer of Jumu'ah and Eidain, there are three types of sunnah that the imam should adhere to. The first sunnah in terms of recitation is that in the first rak'ah we should pray, the imam sahib should pray Surah Al-Jumu'ah, and in the second, the imam sahib should pray Surah Al-Munafiqun. Both of these are in the 28th juz. The second narration we find is that in the first rak'ah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite Surah Al-Jumu'ah, and in the second rak'ah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite Surah Al-Ghashiyah. Hal ataka hadith Al-Ghashiyah. And the third narration we find in the first rak'ah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la, and in the second rak'ah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite Surah Al-Ghashiyah. So when the imam does the recitation according to these, then we'll know inshallah that alhamdulillah Imam Sahib has completed a sunnah today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So we begin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hal ataka hadithul ghashiyah? Hal ataka hadithul ghashiyah? Did the news, hadith means news, did the news of the overwhelming event reach you? So first Allah begins with a question. As we know, there are different types of questions. Sometimes your purpose of questioning is to obtain information that you did not know. You ask a question because I don't know, I want to know. Sometimes your purpose of questioning is to attract the attention of the listener, that what I'm going to tell you now is very important. For example, we say a story to someone. Did you hear what happened on Uru Range? So I'm not asking you, you can tell from my tone, I'm not asking you, I'm about to tell you. And the reason why I'm saying, did you hear what happened, is because I want to take your attention. I want to, so you say, oh, what happened? Now you got my attention, you're going to tell me a story. So this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing here. Did the news of the overwhelming event reach you? So we say, oh, what's this overwhelming event? So now Allah has got, the Quran has got our attention. So the purpose of this istifham, this question, is not to, that Allah is, na'udhu billah, wanting information from us. Allah knows everything. The purpose is to attract our attention. And now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got our attention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describes certain events of this day. One other point, al-ghashiyah, the overwhelming event, this word, ghashiyah yaqsha, or ghasha yaqshi, it means overwhelming or to overbear or to envelope. And the reason why this, the day of Qiyamah, Hadith al-Ghashiyah, the overwhelming event, is talking about the day of Qiyamah, the reason why the day of Qiyamah has been described as an overwhelming event is because the day of Qiyamah will affect every single creation. No one single soul will be exempted from the effects of the day of Qiyamah. So it overwhelms and it overbears and it envelopes every single person. This is why Allah has described the day of Qiyamah in this manner. وَجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَ. Faces on that day will be humbled, humiliated. عَامِلَ. Hard-working, laboring. نَاصِبَ. Tired, exhausted. The first word, wujuh, means faces. Here, Allah, the reference is to people, the people who are faces, and that's everybody. Khashi'a. So in this first verse, wujuhu yawma idhin khashi'a, amilatun nasiba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to the bad people, the disbelievers, the sinful people. On the day of Qiyamah, what will happen is the good people and the bad people will be separated. You know, in this dunya, the good people and bad people, there's no separation. You know, sometimes we live next door to disbelievers, we live next door to good people, we travel with them sometimes, we work with them, sometimes we live with them. So in the dunya, and a lot of times the dunya is such a place where we don't know. Sometimes we think that a person is bad, but he actually is a very, very good person. But he just hides himself, and we think, oh, look at this person, he looks like this, he doesn't, you know, his clothes are not right, he has no beard, but inside his heart, he has such powerful iman, more powerful than ours. So, but the dunya is a place, you know, that things are not apparent. On the day of Qiyamah, everything will be apparent. So the good people will be together, the bad people will be together. Remember what we said last week, فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي. The good people, before they enter Jannah, they will be entered into the group of good people. And then together, they'll enter into Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter us into the group of good people. So on the day of Qiyamah, the good people and the bad people, they will be separated. And now the description begins of the bad people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as khashi'ah. On that day of Qiyamah, their faces will be humiliated, they will be humbled. The word khashi'ah comes from the word khushu'. Khushu' means to humble oneself. In the dunya, in this world, we are commanded to have khushu' in our salah. So what does this mean? Is that when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are humbling ourselves. We are humiliating ourselves. We are throwing ourselves down on the ground. On the day of Qiyamah, the people who did not humble themselves in front of Allah in the dunya, the people who do not throw themselves on the ground in front of Allah in the dunya, on the day of Qiyamah, they will be forced to throw themselves down in humiliation on the day of Qiyamah. The difference is this. The people who threw themselves down in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, we humiliate ourselves, we humble ourselves in front of Allah. This is no humiliation. This is an honor. This is an honor for us to put our head down onto the ground and to make sajda in front of Allah the Almighty. This is no humiliation. Wallahi, this is an honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. The reason why we do this is because Allah has blessed us with iman in our hearts. On the apparent, it may look like we are humiliating ourselves, but wallahi, this is no humiliation, this is an honor. And the difference is that those people who will be forced to humiliate themselves on the day of Qiyamah, that will be no honor, that will be true humiliation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. And this, there's a deep lesson in this as well, with regards to how we are supposed to present ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are praying salah. Once I was having a conversation a few weeks ago with my brother, and he mentioned that some people that come to salah, and may Allah protect us, I speak to myself first, that some people come to salah with so much attitude. They come, you know, with an arrogant walk, and then what do they do in the musalla? What are we supposed to do when we raise our hands? The whole dunya is supposed to be behind us. Allahu Akbar. And now nothing is in front of our eyes. We are in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that, what do some people do? They come, and in front of the musalla, so everybody can see, they put down car keys, Ferrari, Mercedes. They put down their phone, £1,000 phone. Sometimes they take their watch off, Rolex. What's this? It's a genuine question. We are standing in front of Allah, but we are throwing the dunya in front of us. Well, it's a very, very, and this is the point my brother made, and it got me thinking. Very, 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 very important point. That what are we doing? Are we showing off to the people that I have this car and I have this watch, and some people put their wallets there, fat wallet full of notes? What are we doing? So this verse, it also draws our attention to this as well, as a side point, as a small tangent. And when we're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're supposed to stand with humiliation, with humility, and being humble. Because who are we and who are we standing in front of? We are nothing. We are nothing. And Allah is everything. So, this is, you know, we need to go to the imams and the ulama and the pious people, and we need to learn how they pray salah. Look at the pious people and just observe their salah, how they pray with such humility. Yeah, we need to look at the ahadith, how Rasulullah recited his salah, and we need to learn from this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. In the next two verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the sinful people on the day of Qiyamah as amilatun nasiba. Now, there are various opinions with regard to this. One opinion is Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah writes that this is actually a description of the sinful people in the world. The amila. Amila means the laboring, the hard working. What did they do all their life? They worked and worked and worked. Nasiba till the time they became tired. This word nasiba, we did it previously in Surah Al-Nashr. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. When you finish giving da'wah to the people, Allah is talking to Rasulullah ﷺ, فَانْصَبْ. Tire yourself out through ibadah. So it means a person who is tired. Other mufassirin write, the amila is the description in the world. Nasiba is the description in the akhirah. So what it means is describing the people who worked so hard in the world. What did they work towards? They worked towards batil, they worked towards wrong. So this could be towards the dunya, or it could be even towards other religions. Another tafsir is that, you know, some people, they believe in other religions. So you get some priests and some monks, they work very hard all their life, they leave the world, they stay in a cold church, all their clothes, they're all dirty, and no, God, Jesus, all this Trinity. So all their life, they left the world. But because they had the wrong faith and the wrong aqidah, in the Jahannam, they became nasiba. Nasiba means tired. The ulama write that he'll be tired of all the different punishments that's taking place upon him. He'll be destroyed. So once, in one narration, he says that Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and he went to Sham, and he saw a priest, and this priest had come, and he was in a very terrible state. His clothes were all dark, he was all disheveled, he was, you know, he was very old, he was Shaykhun Kabir, he was very old as well. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala looked at him and started crying. So one of the companions said, "Ma yubki, what has made you cry, O Amirul Mu'mineen?" So he said that, you know, he said, this man, he worked hard towards something, but he failed in it. And he had hopes that he was on the right religion, but he failed. Even he did not even get that. And this made Hazrat Umar cry. That, wallahi, all his life, he's left the dunya, he's worked so hard, but what has he achieved? He's destroyed himself. So many mufassirin say that this verse is talking about those people who work so hard, but in the wrong religions, and with the wrong aqidah. And in the end, they became nasiba, they became tired and destroyed, and they went to Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Some punishment with regards to these people. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that the people of Jahannam, they will be sucked into the fire, they will sink into the fire of Jahannam, just like a camel when he comes across a swamp and he gets sucked in and sinks into the swamp. Another mufassir, Al-Kalbi, he says that they will be dragged into Jahannam. Dhahak says that the people of Jahannam will be made to climb a mountain made out of iron, and then they'll throw themselves off afterwards. In one narration it's mentioned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah writes with regards to these people who destroyed themselves for the wrong reason in the world, that khasira dunya wal akhirah. They lost out in the dunya, they lost out in the akhirah as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tasla naran hamiya. They will enter into the boiling, burning, scorching fire. Hamiya, we did this previously in Surah Al-Qari'ah. Now, the indication here is that normally in the dunya, when a fire burns, a time will come when it cools down and it goes down. But the fire of Jahannam will never cool down. It will never lessen. It will stay scorching ila abad al-abad, forever and ever and ever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tusqa min aynin aniya. Tusqa, they will be made to drink, min aynin aniya, from a boiling hot spring. The Mufassirin write that boiling ania over here means that the water will be at such a temperature, it's the highest possible temperature that water can go at. That it cannot even ever get hotter than this. Imam Qurtubi writes that some Mufassirin have said that the water is so hot that if one drop of this water was to fall on a mountain in this world, the entire mountain would melt. Imagine the heat of this. Do we think that we can conquer Jahannam? Do we think we can tolerate the fire of Jahannam? Wallahi, we cannot. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and give us tawfiq to do those a'mal that will protect us from the fire of Jahannam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah writes that the fire of Jahannam, the heat of Jahannam will start affecting people and they'll start feeling thirsty, because when it's hot you feel thirsty. So they will ask for water and water will be given to them. And it says that as they raise the water to their lips, the lips will burn off. That's how much heat will be in this water. But they will be so thirsty that they will put this water down their throats. And it says the heat of the water will be so extreme that the intestines will rip out and they'll fall onto the floor. That's how, may Allah protect us. It's very, very scary, but it's very important to talk about these. Then what will happen after this? In the dunya, if that was to happen to us, may Allah protect us, we'd die. And death would be a form of, you know, raha, a form of, it'd be a favor for us that the pain has ended. But in Jahannam, لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَهِيَا. There's no death in Jahannam. So what will happen is the body of the human will be brought back together and then the punishment will take place again and again and again. May Allah protect us. لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٌ. There will be no food for them. إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِيعٍ. Except for a thorny plant. There are many different opinions with regards to what is this thorny plant. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that it is a tree which is made from fire. Others have said that it is zakum, which is mentioned in other places in the Quran. Others have said that it is stones, that they will have to eat stones. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah said that it is a plant that is known as ash-shibriq. In the winter, and in the summer, it's known as dari. So in the winter, it's moist, and then it becomes dry in the summer. This is according to Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. Others have said that it's a thorny plant, which is poisonous, and it has a bad smell, and all animals, they stay away from such a plant. Now here, there's one question that may arise, that plants, they normally burn. So how will this plant very last in Jahannam? So the answer is that the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that made the plants grow with water and minerals in this dunya, He can also make plants grow with the fire of Jahannam. So others have, some Mufassirin have said that as the fire burns it, it'll grow bigger and bigger and bigger like this. In the Quran, over in this verse, another question comes. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will have nothing to eat except dari. However, in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, in Ayah 52, the diet of the dwellers of Jahannam is described as zakum. In Surah Al-Haqqah, the diet of the dwellers of Jahannam has been described as the pus that comes out from the wounds of the people of Jahannam, and they will have to drink that. So the answer is that when it says that they will have nothing to eat, it means that they will have nothing of food to eat. You know how sometimes you want to say about someone that, like for example, a teacher might get angry with the student and he might say that he knows nothing except how to sleep. So what does that mean? That no, he knows other things as well. He knows how to eat, he knows how to drink, he knows how to walk. But what he's saying is that he has no knowledge. So here he's saying that لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ضَرِي means they have no actual food. Edible food, proper food, except these thorny plants and pus and things like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the punishment of Jahannam. In the next verse, Imam Qurtubi says that it's possible that at different stages of Jahannam, The people of Jahannam will be given different types. So the pus will be given to one stage of Jahannam, Dari, and Zakum will be given to different people in Jahannam. In the next verse, he says, لَا يُسْمِنُ وَلَا يُغْنِي مِنْ جُوءٍ. This food will neither nourish them, وَلَا يُغْنِي مِنْ جُوءٍ. It will not solve their and satisfy their hunger. The reason for this was that when the disbelievers heard this verse, لَيْسَ لَهُمْ طَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ ذَرِي. Remember we said that Imam Bukhari says that in the winter the plant's moist and the camels eat it. So the Quraysh said that, oh, it's fine. Our camels, they eat this dhari and they become strong. So in Jahannam we'll become strong as well. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا يُسْمِنُ وَلَا يُغْنِي مِنْ جُوءٍ. This will be no nourishment. It's not going to satisfy your hunger. Yeah? And then this was the end of the description of the people. Some of the description in the Quran, inshallah, as we go through the Quran, there will be many other descriptions as well of the dwellers of Jahannam. I just wanted to finish on one hadith. Now this hadith, and this hadith, it's in Bukhari Sharif, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he describes many different punishments of the people of Jahannam. Inshallah, we'll finish on this. And then inshallah, hopefully next week it'll be a bit more pleasant. We can talk about Jannah. So, you know, it's nice to talk about Jannah as well. But this week, it's a harsh day. Yeah? So in this hadith, it's a very long hadith, extremely long hadith. So what I've done, I've just taken out the points that I wanted to speak about. So it makes it easier for us. If you went through the hadith, take another half an hour. Yeah? This hadith is in Bukhari Sharif. And it's in the chapter of the interpretation of dreams. Towards the end of Bukhari Sharif, around 7,000 hadith. Towards the end of Bukhari Sharif. Now, in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that two people came to me at night and they said, come. So I went with them and what did I see? So he said, first I went and I walked with these people and suddenly I saw a man and his head, there was a man and there was another person with a big stone and he was rolling the stone over this person's head. The person's head was being crushed and the stone was so heavy and it was crushing this man's head with such force that it would roll away further. Then the person who was throwing the stone, be an angel, he goes after the stone and he collects the stone and he comes back. By the time he comes back with the stone, the man's head has been restored again and then the punishment takes place again and again and again. Moving on. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I saw a man lying down and another man was standing over him and he had a hook in his hand and he was putting the hook in the mouth of the man and he was tearing his cheek apart all the way to the back of his head. Then he was taking the hook and inserting it into the person's eye. And he was tearing from the eye to the ear, he was tearing the person's head apart. And then the person, the angel, he inserts the hook into the person's ear and he rips his ear apart. Then he goes to the other side of the face and he does the same thing again. By the time he's finished with the other side of the face, he comes back to this side of the face and he's being restored. And then the punishment takes place again and again and again. The Prophet ﷺ says to the angels, what is this? They say, Fantalik, Intalik, Intalik. Move on, let's carry on. So they go on, and he says that, the Prophet ﷺ says that I saw a building, and it represented, have you ever seen what we call tannur? A tannur is like a baking pot, and it's normally wider at the bottom, and it's narrow at the top, and they normally put things inside like chapatis. They stick it inside and then it makes and then they take it out again. He said, I saw a building resembling this tannur. And he said, I looked inside and it was full of men and women who were naked and they were burning inside this huge pot. And they were burning and they were being punished and all of them, men and women, were inside. Rasulullah said, what is this? Who are these people? The angel said, Intalik, Intalik, move on. And he says, I came to a river. And then the Rawi, the person, the Sahaba narrating the hadith says that I believe the Prophet ﷺ said that the river was red, like blood. And says there was a man swimming inside this water, and then he would swim to the edge of the river, and there was another person there, and he would get a stone, and he would throw it, and the stone would enter the man's mouth, and then he would swim away. Then he would come back, and then this punishment was being repeated again and again. He says, I moved on. Rasulullah ﷺ says that I saw a man, and he says that he was the most repulsive man I'd ever seen. He says his appearance was so nasty and repulsive that a person cannot look like this. There's not a person who can look more repulsive and nasty than this individual. And he says that there was a fire, and he was kindling the fire, and he was running around the fire, and he was making the fire go bigger and bigger. And then finally, Rasulullah says that we moved on and I saw a person, a group of people, that one side of the body was extremely beautiful and the other side of the body was extremely repulsive. And then what happened was these people, they were put into a river of milk and they came out and they were fully beautiful. There's other parts of this hadith as well, but I've just taken out the part. Now at the end of the dream, the Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, what was all this that we saw? So the Rasulullah ﷺ was informed that the first person whose head was being crushed, this person, he had learnt the Qur'an and then he had neglected it. He would sleep, he would abandon the Qur'an, he never ever read it and he forgot it. This was the punishment for that person who learnt the Qur'an and then he forgot it and he neglected it. May Allah protect us and help us to learn the Qur'an and safeguard the Qur'an and become men of the Qur'an and reciters of the Qur'an all the way till the time comes for us to pass away. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. The second person whose face was being torn apart with hook, they said that his crime was that in the morning he would go out and he would spread lies. He would go to this person and he would say a lie about that person, about this person, a lie about this person. Just spread lies everywhere. So this is the punishment for that person. The people who were inside the pot and they were burning together inside the tanur, it says that these were the people who used to commit zina. Today they are naked being punished together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from committing zina. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being from the punishment of Jahannam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from his anger. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. The person who was swimming in the river and his stones were being thrown in his mouth, this person was the person who consumed interest, who consumed riba. In the hadith we find very, very grave warning with regards to people who commit, who consume riba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this sin. In one hadith it's mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares war upon the person who commits riba from the top of my head. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And the last person that Rasulullah ﷺ then asked with regards to the man that in repulsive appearance. So Rasulullah ﷺ was informed that this person, this individual was Malik. He is the Khazin of Jahannam. The Jahannam has many, many angels looking after it. Previously in Surah Al-Alaq, in Iqra, we mentioned that Zabaniya. We mentioned in that surah that Zabaniya, some of the angels of Jahannam, they are called Zabaniya. So Malik, he is the leader of all the angels of Jahannam. It is a very, very terrifying appearance. And in the Quran, in one verse it says, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِي عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ. After long time of being punished, the people of Jahannam will call out to Malik. Malik will be stood there in this repulsive appearance. And they say, يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِي عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ. O Malik, tell your Lord to just finish us off now. We're tired of being punished, just tell him to finish us off. And after a while, Malik will look up. Some Mufassirin say, one narration of Ibn Abbas, He says that, you know, the time between the people saying Ya Malik liyaqdi alayna rabbuk and the time until Malik looks up, it'll be 1,000 years. 1,000 years, not of this dunya. My brothers, 1,000 years of the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ. One day in the akhirah is like 1,000 years of this life. Do the maths. May Allah protect us. So he'll look up after 1,000 years and he'll say, إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. You are going to stay there. Imagine this mercilessness. Absolute mercilessness, ruthlessness. There's no mercy in Jahannam. There's no mercy in Jahannam. The time for mercy is now. The time for us to take the mercy of Allah is now. When this chance goes, when our soul leaves our body, there's no mercy now. إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. Imagine after such a long period of time being punished, you're not even getting an answer of Malik. And this repulsive angel in this repulsive appearance, after 1,000 years, he says to إِنَّكُمْ, you're staying where you are, you're not going anywhere. Remember in previous surah, we said that Jahannam will be sealed and nobody's coming out of Jahannam. Now may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the punishment of Jahannam. And finally in the hadith, the man who, the people who were half beautiful and half ugly, then the interpretation was from the angels. They explained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that these people were the people who had good deeds and bad deeds. Then what happened was, you know, some people will be punished and then they'll be taken out of Jahannam and then put into Jannah. So then the interpretation of the being cleansed through their punishment, and then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them into Jannah. However, we make dua that, Ya Allah, we don't even want to go to Jahannam at all. Because we're too weak. We can't even handle the fire of this dunya. How are we going to handle this kind of punishment? It's very important. I do apologize. But it's very, very important for us to look at these punishments that are mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ponder that, How are my amal? Next time we think of committing a sin, next time we think of, you know, doing some contract which has interest, mortgages, it's a big topic these days. Don't have time to go into it. But this is also part of it. Next time we think of looking at a woman that's haram for us, next time we think of talking to a woman that's haram for us, maybe we'll remember this punishment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to stay away from haram. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to do good deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to bring the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of the Holy Quran and the true love of the Holy Quran, and make us men of the Quran and women of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with his proximity and his qurba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khatima bil khair upon the kalima in the state of sajda in the city of Madinatul Munawwara. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the murafaqah and the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Firdaus al-A'la. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.